the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
To the American Dragon Virgin known Rant and Wrestling, episode 99. I am Booty KB, one half of the World Tag Team Champions. You already know that. But something that you didn't know is that he is the cold dropping world champion, the eater of meals in the hill of the show, Mofo Magic. He is actually here on time, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God.
Heartbroken today.
You're heartbroken. He sounds perfectly fine.
But I'm not the heel today. I am the American Dragon heel today.
Oh, you are the American Dragon.
And to take away Rob Gimmick, I will be Mofo Magic cattle mutilation.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Rob, you gotta come back. Also here on the show, been here on all 99 episodes. He is the tweener world champion. This is Doomsday. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Streak will never be broken. That's
no. No, I don't think it will ever be broken. Ever. We got a couple streaks on this show, actually, with the Droa streak and your streak. And I guess my streak, since I always start the show off. But it's okay. We're all here to rant on wrestling or God knows what. Okay, let's start it off with the elephant in the room, like the guy said. Daniel Bryan, also known as Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon from back in the day in his Ring of Honor days, has officially retired, I believe, on Monday when he had his a great speech. People were, of course, were crying in the crowd. They were crying at home, crying on Twitter. Everybody did not want this man to go. But honestly, for me,
it's a work.
It's not a work. He's gone.
You don't know that.
Now, I know everybody was comparing it to Mark Henry when he swerved everybody, you know. But that was Mark Henry, and I think his time is up also, you know. But, yeah, Daniel Bryan is gone. No longer a wrestler, an active wrestler. I'm pretty sure
he's like Doomsday won the pool. When I asked him about 3 weeks ago, how many titles will Daniel Bryan win? World championships will Daniel title win? And he said zero. So.
And I said one, I think.
Yeah.
So. And now he guessed. You got it right. Zero. What's your thoughts on this this terrible loss to the wrestling world, Mofo Magic?
Okay. So I was thinking about this earlier today and what I was going to say on the show. And let me first say this. First off, the people who think it's a work need to shut the fuck up. Like, but talk about those good people all
the
time.
It could have been. It could have been a work. It could have been.
Talk about those people all the time, and they're always going to be that person who they believe that they know everything that happens in wrestling. They believe that they are the booker, and they really do fucking believe that everything they say should happen. And if they were in charge of WWE, then they'd be bigger than the NFL, so on and so forth. Whatever. So those people can suck a dick, and honestly, for us to always complain about them, I never meet these people. Everybody always says they hate them, but I never meet them. Anyway, that being said, it was kind of surreal how people were talking about him like he had just died.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people were giving, like, the death, like, I hope he'll be missed in my heart. I'm like, the dude's still alive. He's just retired. Like, my heart will be broken without him. I can't believe this is happening. No, why is this one gone? Like, no, he's still alive. He's just retiring. And guys retire. That's what's going
to
happen.
They didn't want it to happen. It was too early, they say.
Yeah, that being said, there's not a guy out there who I think deserves more accolades and more heartfelt warmth than this guy. Truly genuine, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, apparently, in and out the ring. Everybody says the same thing about him, and worked his ass off. And to me, he helped me. I know it's cliche-ish for people to say shit like this. He helped me find Ring of Honor and enjoy it. We talked about it on the roundtable, the match between him, Loki, Christopher Daniels, the matches he had with Lance Storm and the I Got Till 5. Like, Daniel Bryan was the star in Ring of Honor. Daniel Bryan was a star in WWE. He will be in the Hall of Fame next year. And he deserves all of it. And I'm really, really sad to see him go and not come and basically stop wrestling. That being said, it's kind of scary, the kind of stuff that he was apparently going through, according to the ESPN interview, that he was having seizures and stuff like that. So it kind of puts, you know, I know we like to see hard-hitting wrestling, but these guys are human, and at some point, we got to kind of, it makes me wonder where a PWG, an ROH, and New Japan Pro Wrestling, in this new age of concussions and what they mean, how these guys are going to protect themselves, yet fans want more and more and more. And just a case in point, I know he's not as big of a deal as Daniel Bryan was, but Axel Rotten, who was actually from Maryland and a huge Maryland indie star and was in ECW, took all those fucking chair shots. And it was really bad for his health, and he died at 44. So he's only 10 years older than Bryan is. So it's a very scary, scary thought process, and you know, I wish Bryan nothing but the best. I'm happy that he's getting out the ring. I don't know what's next for him. To me, he's too bland to be an announcer. I mean, I guess he could be a color commentator, but I don't know if he brings that pizzazz. And being a trainer, before somebody says, oh, he should be a trainer. Well, Michael Jordan is pretty much showing you that just because you're good at something doesn't mean you're good at evaluating it. So him being a trainer is not automatically you're going to turn out a bunch of Daniel Bryans. Him being a trainer could be what Mike Singletary was to the 49ers, and that wasn't good. So Mike Singletary was a Hall of Fame linebacker. Those fucking 49ers teams sucked. So it is what it is, but to me, there wasn't a guy who deserved it more than he did.
Yeah, you definitely have a point about that Mike Singletary, all-star linebacker who was feared. Then he got to the 49ers. You think he was going to have one of the best defense in the world? No. It was horrible. Horrible. You know. But, Daniel Bryan, like, I mean, when I first saw him, I was just like, eh. Like, who is this weirdo with the pale skin and the blue boots and all that stuff? And this was just, nah, it was just weird. But he turned out to be the best in the world. That's where I first heard it from. It wasn't no CM Punk. It was Daniel Bryan. Who was in the same company as CM Punk, mind you. And, he goes all over the world. I read on Twitter, a lot of people, Finn Balor tweeted out and, Christopher Daniels tweeted out. You know, I didn't see if Nigel wrote something, but I'm pretty sure he did. And, it's just too early. Like, some people were comparing it to Edge when he retired, but I think people had a better, following for Daniel Bryan. He helped change WrestleMania 30. They was chanting his name when they was talking about the main events of, I forgot what match it was, but they was cheering Daniel Bryan, and he helped change that main event. Fans were so behind him.
They called it WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. And I think Edge was winding down to his career anyway. And I think Daniel Bryan could probably wrestle for another 10 years, in my opinion. But that's
kind of crazy. It shows how durable John Cena's been. Like, how John Cena doesn't have these. He's 38, and how he just never had this, like, this is the first time he's ever really been injured. But you see a lot of guys around that age just get they start getting slowed down, Edge and Daniel Bryan, and guys are retiring earlier and earlier. Randy Orton hasn't been around in like 3 years.
Yeah, total.
Yeah.
Because he keeps getting hurt. But yeah, it does suck. Because at a time like this, where all of these guys are injured, you keep having this injury bug spread around, a Daniel Bryan return would be fantastic, and we're not getting that this time. Like, so it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. There's still wrestlers out there that's ready to step up and become that main star. You know, those B-plus players going to look at that guy and be like, one day I will be an A-plus player. Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, Daniel Bryan retiring early. I just want him to be healthy. You know, I don't want him to be, oh, one more match. If he can't do it, he can't do it. You know, he just can't do it. I don't want him to go out there and try to break his neck for one more match with Nakamura, which is highly possible. You know, if he gotta go. If they say he can't do it, so be it. It's gonna suck. He wrestled, what, he said 16 years? Like, that's a long time. That's damn near 20. You know, so yeah, he's had his run. I'm proud of him. And, Doomsday, you got any thoughts on this early retirement from Daniel Bryan Danielson?
And, the speech that he gave, the reaction from the crowd was fitting, definitely. The early retirement, it's only sad to see, but of course it was definitely necessary. Like, you gotta put your health first, you know, definitely. That's one thing. One thing with him was that I feel like he pushed, especially last year when he came back from injury, he pushed himself way too far, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have changed his style up, could have changed, like, the stuff that he was willing to take, you know what I'm saying? But ultimately he didn't, and this is where we're at now. But in the end, man, like, he has had a very fulfilling career. He made it, I think in his words, basically, he's made it farther than anybody with his physique and temperament should have gone, you know?
Yeah.
So it's still a beautiful thing to, like, see him being able to retire the way he has. I just hope for him to have a fruitful life outside of wrestling, you know?
That is true. And the man has been wrestling with injuries from you know, I don't know when he started his career, but he had that detached retina in his eye when he wrestled Takeshi Morishima. And I think he injured his neck and plus the concussions. So this guy got some injuries, as those other wrestlers too. I'm pretty sure Randy Orton got a slew of injuries.
Oh, yeah.
John Cena got a couple. You know, so it's it's unfortunate.
Every year.
Right. He can't stay a full calendar year yet. I think this is one of his few Royal Rumbles that he ever missed. I always remember him being in Royal Rumbles. So, yeah, you know, and, it just sucks. You know, I watched the speech. I listened to everything you said. I watched the crowd reactions. It was in Seattle. And I was just listening. I was just like, that guy is a good man. Really funny, humble dude, you know, but, world traveled. Just a good guy. Daniel Bryan, or to some still call him Bryan Danielson, the best in the world, the American Dragon. Stuff like that. So, anything else on the whole Daniel Bryan matter?
I have a big thing that I actually wanted to ask about, because one of the things I heard was people saying that, oh, Daniel Bryan was, you know, he was the guy who made the indies guys. He opened the door for a lot of indie guys. Yeah. I hate to be this person, but I think CM Punk did more for Daniel Bryan's career than Daniel Bryan did for a lot of other people's career. Like, to me, I know it sounds, oh, cliche-ish, and I know when the guy, when something like this happens right away, we want to kind of cement people as the greatest ever, but to me, CM Punk had more of an influence on the indie guys in WWE than Daniel Bryan did. And it's weird how, like Doomsday said, he said, I mean, it's true. We never thought Daniel Bryan could be successful, but I think CM Punk kind of paved the way for that. And I mean, it's kind of nice because now Daniel Bryan's kind of like the guy who's taken over and we don't have to deal with the CM Punk chants and stuff. But like, to me, I kind of want to get your guys' opinion of who was more influential in WWE. Cause these are the two indie darlings that got higher than anybody else. CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, in your opinion?
Okay, I'll go first, I guess. Yeah, honestly, me personally not being a big fan of CM Punk, I'd hate to agree that, yes, he has had the biggest influence, as mainly for the fact that he was there before. He was, like, the first guy plucked, first major, like, dude plucked from the indies. And like, that was, like, an ROH star. And him, the way that he came up through WWE and the whole pipe bomb thing and everything that's gone through since, he paved the way a lot for other dudes that eventually got signed the few years after the fact, you know, because he proved with his ability and his charisma, everything like that, that he was able, that, yes, that's a viable source for guys to get to cycle through into the WWE. That I felt like that main influence is the reason why he's bigger than Daniel Bryan in that respect.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with him. Same thing. I mean, but still, like, Daniel Bryan did his thing, but I think it was just because even when it was Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk, CM Punk was the bigger star out of the two, paving the way for everybody else. Yeah, that would have to be CM Punk. But I don't know by how high of a margin, though. Yeah. That's all I got. Yeah, but I do agree with what you're saying.
I'm just, you know, and the thing is, I think that now the time has kind of healed that wound of not having to hear about him as much and not people and everything. I think I kind of now have more of an appreciation of Punk over the years than what I used to. But yeah, I mean, it feels nice that, you know, we don't have to deal with that on the back end anymore with those guys.
No, we're still going to get a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not going to change.
So.
Poor guy. Why did he have to retire? Why couldn't it be someone else? Just had to be him.
Had to be him.
But granted, I would rather have a live Daniel Bryan than a messed up one, you know.
That's your choices.
You know, so, hey, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the WWE doing something. I would say not commentary, but more like how they do the panel, like with Booker T and someone else and what's this guy's name? Corey Graves.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. You know, that would be cool.
Honestly, I feel like he's just going to avoid dealing with WWE stuff altogether for a while. I think he'll eventually go back to doing stuff with the WWE, but I feel like he's one of those types who he's going to go out, find his thing, then maybe come back and do some sporadic stuff. But I feel like, yeah, he's definitely going to go out and go on his own.
I mean, I think the most you'll see him on is Total Divas.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to be there full time, but if it was anything, I mean, I don't want this guy to be a goddamn referee or no shit. You know, I don't want to
get that. Referees take bumps.
You know, I mean, he ain't got to. He can referee women's matches. I mean, come on now. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. He could.
Have you seen Alicia Fox match?
No.
That referee takes bumps on Alicia Fox.
When?
You don't know when she's kicking, who she's kicking.
Oh, man. Where that's
Oh, man.
This guy is a trained professional wrestler. He's going to bump like one, damn it. But yeah. Anything happened on Raw?
Okay. Dudley's. Okay, Dudley's. There was a 8-man tag: the Dudley's and the Usos versus New Day and Mark Henry. Things went down. The Dudley's felt some type of way beforehand about how the Usos, were doing the whole tables match deal with the New Day. So the 8-man tag ended up actually being a tables match. But Mark Henry ended up leaving the match because the New Day got too big for the britches and too obnoxious, and he was like, fuck that, and peaced out. And then the Usos and Dudley's ended up picking up the win. Only thing is, Dudley said, all right, fuck it, let's take shit into our own hands. They hit one of the Usos, I don't know which one because I can never tell them apart, with the 3D through a
right eye or left eye?
I don't know.
Can't remember that part. I can't remember that part.
So one of them got hit through a got sent through a table with 3D, and another one got that super power bomb through the table. And the Dudley's were basically talking about like, do you know who we are? Blah blah blah. And yeah, they basically turned into bad guys.
Well, at least it's giving them new life now, because before they was doing jack shit.
Yeah, and then also your client Dolph Ziggler, he beat Kevin Owens via using the ropes.
And I heard people were throwing a fit because Kevin Owens lost, and I was just like, really? Like, come on now, this man lost to Neville, I think, and he bust his ass right after the match.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Fun. That was fun.
What more do you want?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's a feud, guys. Damn.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting buried anyway.
What else was going down? I think what else? I think it was Brock Lesnar. Oh yeah, of course. Oh yeah, that's right. Brock Lesnar. They had the contract signing in the beginning. Brock Lesnar threw Dean Ambrose across the table, then threw the table at Roman Reigns. And then F5'd Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns were pissed after that. Eventually, later in the night, Dean Ambrose calls Brock Lesnar out, basically calls him a pussy, kind of, I guess. And next thing you know, Brock Lesnar is whipping his ass in and out of the ring. He's really beat the shit out of him. And then hits him with an F5. Dean Ambrose, of course, he has that super resiliency, so he kind of like starts crawling back up after it, and then Brock Lesnar's about to come and finish him off for good before Roman Reigns shows up and kind of distracts Brock Lesnar, and with the last amount of energy Dean Ambrose had left, he hits Brock Lesnar with a low blow, and he hits him with a low blow, and Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose peace out. And that was funny. That was a good moment. Then less spectacular news. They had what was it? I think it was Tamina versus Becky Lynch.
Whoa, Tamina Smith was out there.
Yeah, that's right. Sasha Banks was out doing commentary. Naomi was out supporting Tamina. Some shit went down with Sasha and Naomi outside the ring. Becky's dumbass decided to come out and try to help Sasha out. Went back in the ring.
Becky don't know when to shut the fuck up.
Look, she's trying to get herself over. Cut her slack.
And got hit with that sweet, sweet super kick from Tamina. And Tamina got the win on Raw. Amazing, right?
By the way. Who the fuck's idea was it to make Sasha Banks a face?
But the fans did, didn't they?
Yeah, I guess the fans did.
This did not turn out well.
That's what happened, man.
I understand. Like, this is what, now you're going to get what you want. You're going to get a face Sasha Banks, who is probably boring as fuck.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
But we'll see.
I mean, she is the boss.
But that character, I don't know how that character works as a face.
Guess you're going to have to wait
a WWE face.
Hey, we already like her. All she got to do is just act like a heel. They're going to like it.
And we're going to talk a lot. We're going to say the name again. But remember when CM Punk was a heel and people were like, yeah, that's a heel. And then they changed him to a face because, hey, the fans are cheering him. And they changed him into a completely different person. Did the same shit with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Ambrose to a point, but
it is WWE.
I just hope they don't ruin her character, man.
Freeze.
You know they are. That's the thing. They want you to have hope for them. They want you to feel like they're TNA. You can just pray that they do things right. But guess what? They're not going anywhere. They're gonna do what they want.
For some reason, from what I've heard, TNA's actually been pretty good lately.
You've been watching?
Even the Matt,
I don't have Pop TV, so no.
Matt Hardy bullshit?
Huh?
Even the Matt Hardy bullshit?
Honestly, from what I heard, Matt Hardy's been playing the character he was playing in Ring of Honor before he left.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Huh. Yeah. So that was the fun Matt Hardy. I remember when he came to Ring of Honor, people were like, fuck Matt Hardy. And then he started doing that shit where he was rolling around the money and shit in the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And Rebby Sky was naked and shit with him?
Oh, hell yeah.
He's doing that in TNA?
Yeah. Well, he's not doing that, but he's doing, like, I'm Matt Hardy, I'm a star.
Yeah, I have more money than you. Yeah, all that shit.
Oh, word.
Like, he's got Brodus Clay's basically, like, his personal babysitter.
Oh, and I heard that, like, Brodus Clay doesn't just follow the man, he follows the title.
Yeah.
Like, whoever has the title, that's where he's going to go.
Literally... Literally, Brodus's Clay character is professional babysitter. Like, he comes out with the kid and everything.
Wow, that's actually interesting.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, speaking of
Rebby Sky, you heard about in the Awesome Kong thing. You heard getting fired too.
We talked about him fighting. Then, like, she got released.
That was wild. Only time he could ever get trans.
I don't know if you guys remember the Best in the World pay-per-view. Rebby Sky is kind of a bitch.
She was actually nice. She was actually kind of nice to me.
You like those types of women.
She was mean to Matt. Like, she was real mean to him.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Didn't she beat the shit out of him once?
Yeah, me and Lee saw it, and Matt just came back. He had that match against Kevin Steen, where they've been throwing chairs and shit at each other and everything.
Yeah.
And he came out. He's limping. And fans are, you know, outside, like, because, you know, posers, people don't want to say this. They're like, Matt, can we get an autograph? He's like, yeah, sure. She's like, come on, Matt, let's go. He's like, sorry.
he knew he was running late. He can't cater to the fans like that. He got a role.
That bitch had a purse in her hand, and he carried all her bags.
Well, he's the man. He's supposed to, by law.
Trust me, he probably didn't want to get that ass whooped again.
Who wants an ass whooping? What's wrong with you?
You better do what the fuck you told.
Yeah. What is a happy wife, happy life?
Yeah. She put a whole new spin on that shit.
That ain't no joke. That's a real thing. Yeah, man. But, so Matt Hardy's the world champion there? I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think doesn't it jump between him and EC3?
Well, EC3 was champ for a while, and then now Matt Hardy's champ, so.
Yeah.
I heard that was his only loss. I didn't know EC3 was undefeated. I had no idea.
Also, speaking of, I'm gonna backtrack a little bit at Raw. They're still not letting AJ Styles speak. So, take that for what you will.
He will one day.
One day, hopefully.
That's right. They had the highlight. Okay, first it was what was it? I forgot what Miz's show was called.
Miz TV.
Yeah, that's right. Miz TV, and then Jericho comes up, hijacks it and turns into the highlight reel. They keep going back and forth. And then eventually AJ Styles shows up and Miz attacks Jericho, I believe. I don't know. Or they just start scrapping or whatever. Next thing you know, everybody's scrapping. And AJ and Jericho have a stare down and all that. So I think they had a match on SmackDown, so I don't know how that's going to turn out, but actually, shit with the Miz is actually sort of interesting for once.
Yeah, I heard that people hate him, but they like him.
Yeah,
they don't like him.
They like to hate him. They like to hate him. That's basically what it is.
That's a heel, huh?
That's a heel. That's a heel.
Good job on him.
Wait, I have a question about that. Do you guys think that people do heels a disservice on the indies when they cheer for them?
A little bit, yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, hell
because
yeah.
The point of being a heel is that you get heat.
Yeah.
Like, I always felt weird. Like, I remember there was a guy who, he's like a small indie wrestler, and he'd be on message boards, and he was like, I appreciate it, I know what you guys are doing, but if you guys want to help me out, boo the hell out of me when you see me. Like, I'm supposed to be a heel, I'm not supposed to be a face. If I was supposed to be a face, yeah, I can make you cheer, but...
Well, it's different times now.
Nowadays it's all kinds of different.
Yeah, now they just cheer for whoever they want, which they have all the right to. They can cheer for whoever they want, but you want to talk about someone that's getting booed off the regular, it is going to be The Miz. I mean, who else is a heel on the show that gets booed?
Oof. That gets booed regularly?
Yeah, like they're supposed to. Like, did Team 3D or the Dudley Boys, did they get booed when they turned on the Usos?
No, they didn't.
Because I think they were booing the Usos anyway.
Yeah, you know, I think one thing with the Dudleys, I think if you take tables away from them, then they're going to start booing. Spoiler alert, whatever, not many people watch SmackDown anyway. Apparently, the Dudleys came out. They say that Bubba Ray was looking more like Bully. when he came out to SmackDown, and they cut a promo talking about how they're the best tag team and all this other stuff, and they'll never use tables again. And then I think the crowd reacted real badly to that. So yeah, I think they're definitely gonna play that heel stuff, and it should work with them. Definitely take away the tables, just get like ruthless aggression with it. It should be fine. Got the heat stash.
Yeah, like you know how you just be like D-Von, get the tables. You might as well just be like D-Von. Nah, never mind. You know, and then they'll boo that. They will boo that. You know, because they wrestling fans for some reason love tables. I'm a tables fan, but I don't care if like they care about tables. If it's a hardcore match, we want tables. I don't care if there's tables in there or not.
Ladders. My thing is ladders.
Like, I would pop for a good chair shot.
Like, I'm a big ladder gimmick guy.
Yeah, because ladders fucking hurt.
Like, I'll be honest with you. When R-Truth came out with the ladder at the Royal Rumble, I was kind of...
Yo, I lost it. I lost it, man.
Yeah. Hey, look, man. That dude, gets him on TV. What else was he going to be doing?
Yeah, you're right.
What
do
you say?
What else? It was funny though.
That's true.
And now I heard he's like teaming with Goldust, and they're doing the whole like what?
They're doing this whole program where Goldust keeps trying to convince R-Truth to be his tag team partner. So it's kind of like how back in the day Goldust was doing that whole deal with Booker T. Only thing is that it's pairing weird with weird.
Okay.
It's some funny stuff.
Either that or Vince McMahon don't know the difference.
It's some funny stuff. But the funny thing about it, okay, and apparently I think maybe a week ago or something like that, like R-Truth got like some message. I think somebody tweeted him, some added him talking about, oh, why does R-Truth do all this comedy stuff? He's better than that, blah, blah, blah. And then he responded like, he's like, I'm making six figures.
Oh, I did see that. Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
He said, I'm making six figures, putting smiles on people's faces. I'm good.
The only fool is you.
The only fool is you. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. You making money, man.
Yeah. Six figures. I was like, oh, geez. I did not know that.
As long as he's happy with his position and like he's making people happy, he's good.
I think the same thing goes for Santino Marella. I think he was comfortable with where he was at. I mean, even he won titles. He won the Intercontinental Championship on his first time.
Right.
And, you know, and he was U.S. champion, and he just was a goofball. You know, making money. I don't know if he was making six figures. I don't know.
That's really the only place you can make six figures.
Yeah.
WWE, and if you get there, I mean, he's probably making high six figures too.
Yeah.
What's
probably
like
maybe low 250, 300.
You know, that's good money.
Oh yeah, yeah. You think we wouldn't take that?
I'd take that in a heartbeat.
Right. Of course. Anything with the Authority, goddamn.
Well, the only thing I remember was, Stephanie was part of the contract signing, and she left before the chaos happened, and, of course, her and Triple H were standing at the ramp, at the top of the ramp after the carnage and blah, 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 had the little stare down. That's basically all the gist of, I remember, the Authority. Not that much authority going around.
Actually, it was kind of weird, though, and I think this kind of sucks, that you kind of could see where Stephanie and has the ability to ad-lib, but not a lot of people do. Like, they were trying to hijack the segment. They start chanting Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And she just shut that off real quick.
Yeah, she did.
Damn. Come on.
Like, they start chanting Daniel Bryan, and she goes, "No, you guys are confused. The champion is Triple H, not Daniel Bryan." Right. And that's what they did. That's what they did.
That's what they're supposed to do. See, they get it. They get booed. They know how to do it. It's just everybody else.
Well, I think everybody else can't go off a script. Have to go off a script.
Right. And is that fair?
No.
Because
it restricts you.
Hmm.
I mean, it easily restricts you. I mean, if you can't ad lib out there and you have lines to run, I mean, there's a lot of shit with Roman Reigns. Like, he has to say shit and stand there and listen to people not buy it, but he still has to stand there and say it. Like, how does that make any sense?
when you make six figures, do you backtalk anyway?
That's true too.
Oh man, the choices.
And where else is Roman Reigns gonna work? Where else can he get a job at? So.
Yeah, you're right. Damn, this sucks. I mean, you can always go to Dixieland. You can make your own rules and schedule there.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. Yeah.
Dixieland has Mike Bennett now. They just
like, and he's not going as the Miracle Mike Bennett. He's just going as the Miracle.
Well, apparently his wife's about trying to become champion.
Oh man.
Oh god.
Well, I mean, I guess that all can be too. Who's the champion in TNA there? That's a Knockouts champion.
Is it Gail Kim?
I think it's Gail Kim.
I don't know. We'll say it's Gail Kim for now. I don't know.
We'll see.
Gail Kim.
What other wrestling news stuff we got? You want to talk New Japan, right?
Oh no, we got to talk. Well, that's like for like a like, new title. I mean, for new like cards for the weekend and actually cards for tonight. Actually, this morning. So, well, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday morning, yeah. Thursday morning one and, Sunday morning, I think. But, yeah, we'll go over that. But, first, O'Neal shit. You guys heard what happened with Titus O'Neal, right?
Yeah.
I heard about that. I heard he lost, but that was it.
Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. What ended up happening to him is that, during the whole, Daniel Bryan retirement, after it stopped airing on Raw, it switched over to, the WWE network to catch the last, like, gist of it. And as I think after Daniel Bryan goes out in the back and all the WWE superstars are still on the top of the stage, Titus playfully grabs Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon turns around and like kind of jokingly shoves him and does like a little throws his hand up and does a little laugh thing or whatever. And then, but next thing you know, you find out that Titus O'Neil has been suspended by the WWE for misconduct, for unprofessional behavior. And not only that, but suspended for 90 days.
Because of that?
Yes.
Can't put your hands on the boss.
And
apparently he wasn't even trying to be like, hey, give me some money, or hey, you hurt messing with my boy, I'ma hurt you. He was more like, yeah, that's my man, D-Bra, alright. No, you get suspended, bro. Sit down.
Okay, apparently the official, unofficial reasoning for this is because too many superstars have been considered doing too much unprofessional behavior, kind of like lollygagging, doing like being silly and all this shit like that, and they want it to be a professional environment and all this other bullshit. So he's basically being used as the scapegoat. He is for all of it, basically. So he was unlucky enough to get hit the hardest, well, the first and the hardest for this. So. It's a shame, man. But
yeah, it is a shame. I mean, Roman Reigns, Superman punched him. He didn't get suspended.
In fact, he got a title shot.
Yeah.
Right.
On and Fastlane. That's another thing everybody keeps talking about. How are they going to try to keep him away from the title, but they give him a title shot off the rip?
They chose him. He didn't win from like a thing from the, like, he beat the League of Nations in a 4-on-1 match with through shenanigans. No, they chose him
and
to be
the
champion.
And then Brock Lesnar is in this match too. Wasn't even on the show when it was supposed to be evaluation night.
Right.
They don't want Brock Lesnar. Why would you want your husband to face Brock Lesnar?
Exactly. Why would you want to give Roman Reigns a title shot when you fought hard to make sure he didn't retain the title at the Royal Rumble? And what is Dean Ambrose doing there? Just there? Getting beat up on Monday night?
Yo, everything's just ass backwards, man. I don't know, man.
It's just like, man, we got too many injuries. WrestleMania's already screwed. Triple H is the champion. Fuck it. Just fuck it, you know?
So let's see where we can go from this.
Yeah, like, come on now. Get it together. This is, you got WrestleMania in, what, a month? Well, a month, maybe a couple weeks. Well, maybe a month and a week. It's the first week of April, I believe. Something like that. You don't have a lot of time. You need to sell out Jerry World down there in Dallas. What are you doing? More than likely, it's going to lead to Roman Reigns and Triple H. But we don't know. They might throw a curveball. Just the fuck with us. Definitely ain't going to be Tyler Breeze because he's getting buried. God damn it. Just don't use him. just don't use him. I don't like him anymore. Just don't use him. Oh, Vince. Okay, so what else happened? Anything else happened in the wrestling world at all?
Yeah, R.I.P. Axl Rotten.
He is dead now. I thought we talked about that last week. Unless he died just recently.
Did we talk about that last week?
No,
we didn't.
Remember. Maybe it happened right after the show. You know, a lot of news happens.
Yeah,
after
we did not talk about that. But yeah, Maryland, Baltimore's own Axl Rotten is gone. R.I.P.
He is dead. I think they said he was in a car.
No, found it in McDonald's, man.
Yeah, outside of McDonald's, yeah.
McDonald's bathroom.
Ew.
Yeah, I think his health was, like, waning for a while. At some point, he was hospitalized in Johns Hopkins. At some point, I believe. Actually, no, that's right. Was that Hack Myers?
That was Hack Myers. What? Apparently, to tell the story, there are a lot of people who saw him, who aren't surprised that was the last time they saw him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Take with that information what you will, but
that's a damn shame.
That's what I've heard. So.
Word of mouth. Streets don't lie.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who were like, yeah, it's sad, but it's not as surprising as it could be.
Oh, poor guy. Who else died?
That's it for this week, guys.
Oh. What did die? And that was the smile off of Cameron Newton's face at the Super Bowl this past Sunday.
Oh, man, I felt so bad.
When he got humbled by the Denver Broncos defense. Not offense, defense. won that Super Bowl. I watch
the championships. Yeah.
I mean,
you know, his whole that just, but that goes to show how major it was that Cam Newton was the only true, like, offensive superstar on that squad. Like, you got a shitty-ass offensive line.
Oh, it got exposed.
A mediocre receiver core. Running backs, fullbacks that ain't that great either. So, like, shit wasn't good. And I knew shit wasn't sweet when they had Michael Orr. Cause I remember when he was in Baltimore, all Michael Orr did at near the end was, let people get through and, have false starts. And what happened during the Super Bowl? He let people get through and, had a couple false starts.
And it wasn't even just let people through. He let Von Miller through. He let DeMarcus Ware through.
He let these monsters through.
Not just him. It was a couple others. The whole offensive line.
So, yeah.
They had, what, 6 to 7 sacks?
It was about 7, I think.
Yeah, and the interception.
Unfortunately, the worst part is, if you put $5, your client Dolph Ziggler pointed this out, if you put $5 on Malik Jackson being the first person to score a touchdown in Super Bowl 50, you would have won $5 million.
Oh, my God.
We could have used that. We could have used that damn money. We could have bought ourselves a damn studio to do the show.
Oh, hell yeah.
At least one.
Right. Yeah, at least one. But, dude, yeah, that Super Bowl was not exciting. Carolina was 15-1 coming into the season. And they was getting there by defense and offense. Because Peyton Manning wasn't looking too good either. He was getting sacked by, and he got an interception by the guy Eli.
Peyton Manning looked horrible.
Peyton Manning looked horrible.
Yo,
did you see that meme? Did you see that meme saying they had him after the game, I guess, with press around him and all that stuff. And, like, the title was, like, when you do nothing for the group project, But you get an A.
But you get an A. Yeah.
that was basically Peyton Manning.
That was Peyton Manning. Yeah, like, cause he was getting harassed, but not like how Cam was. Cam was getting, man, some people kind of felt bad. You could see him being frustrated. Peyton Manning wasn't frustrated. Not like how Cam was. I mean, and mind you, they were getting touchdowns off of turnovers. Because he got a strip sack twice,
right.
And that led to a rushing touchdown. That led to that field goal. They got mostly field goals. Peyton Manning had an interception, you know. They said there was the worst passer rating by a winning Super Bowl team.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer had a worst.
That and the lowest amount of offensive yardage.
Yeah, yeah, it really did. Like, seriously, they won. They got to the Super Bowl because of defense. You think it was a fluke how they was harassing Tom Brady in the AFC Championship? Like, and people thought it was going to be a blowout from the Carolina Panthers? And I'm just saying, no, I didn't think it was going to be a blowout at all. If anything, it was going to be a close game.
I thought it was going to be close.
Like, it was close until they just gave up. And let's talk about Cameron Newton. Okay, this guy, league MVP. Okay, the guy, stats beyond belief, getting rushing touchdowns, getting passing touchdowns. This guy was in the media talking, you know, saying that he lost, he's sore loser, whatever. And then he just gets up and leaves.
Did you get the true explanation for that, though?
I can give you my explanation for it, but go ahead. You give me your true one.
He stated that he is a sore loser. He stated that before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really surprising for him to walk out. But one of the things that kind of broke the straw on the camel's back was the fact that you had him talking while a defensive player from the other team was right next to him talking about how he was fucking him up the whole game. So how do you handle that? And another thing is that you gotta understand that people don't react to this, like, the same situation the same way. So, he's an emotional guy. We all know that. So, of course, he's gonna feel like crap and kinda act the way he did. But you can't just target him and say, I think one of the main reasons he got vilified for that was because he walked out on the media. He walked out on the media, and the media, they're the ones who control the narrative on this type of stuff. If you look at when Peyton Manning, I've read this, and I've remembered, finally, like, when the Colts lost the Super Bowl years ago, he didn't shake a single person's hand, Peyton Manning. He may have probably showed up to the press conference down later, but he was unprofessional to players and coaches. He was unprofessional to players and coaches, but no one really paid attention to that because it wasn't, because the media didn't need to report that. The media wasn't upset about that because it wasn't affecting them. Because this thing with Cam Newton, because they walked out on, because he walked out on them, and they felt some type of way, so they made sure that they hammered him for it. And that's what happened.
They were going to hammer him regard because of who he is.
They were going to hammer him regardless for the fact that they don't like black folks showing out.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got their comeuppance. This nigger finally got his comeuppance and whatnot. They were ready to shit on him anyway, you know?
Well, he had to get humbled, though.
Had to get humbled, I guess.
But in that humbling, okay, it had to get better. That's the thing. You were not the underdog. You were the favorite to win. And you lost. You need to handle your loss like a man. You gotta handle it like that. Yeah, someone's gonna be talking shit next to you. The winners, of course. They're gonna be running them out. The media's gonna be in your face. You gotta be the leader like you say you are. You gotta be the leader of the team. You're the MVP of the league. You're the best player in football. Handle yourself like a man, a professional. You can do it. I'm sure. Okay, Peyton Manning didn't shake anyone's hand. He stayed there at the media. He's a sore loser, too. Same boat. He has to get better. Okay? It's not going to be the end of the world. Cam Newton is a playmaker. For those that are listening, he doesn't suck. The guy is great. He is a playmaker. He is a hard worker, very talented, and he can dab all he wants because he was a winner. He was undefeated for a while until he lost to the Falcons. You know, so they could back it up. That was the thing. They don't suck. Their defense is great. Their team doesn't suck. So he shouldn't feel too bad that he lost that game. It didn't go his way. But that defense was, you gotta give credit to that defense. And I don't think he was. Sore loser or not, he didn't give credit where credit is due. And I think he should have done
that. I think he did. I think he did because if you go on the field and you look at stuff on the field, he was gracious to everyone he was shaking hands with on the field. Like, he was, when he was going to those players, and he was like, good game, all that stuff like that. Even Peyton Manning was quoted as saying, like, was saying that they had a great exchange when they were on the field after the game was over.
Okay.
It's not like he didn't show any respect, any disrespect to the actual players. He just himself, it was internal that he felt anger and he felt that emotion that he lost, you know?
Honestly, whole media thing and everything didn't really bother me as much. What bothered me is the fact that I'm not even worried about the media talking about Cam. I mean, they got
football. That was going to happen anyway.
So,
yeah,
football season's over. So, I mean, they got to have something to talk about. I mean, right now it's the slow time of season. And unless you are a college basketball fan, there's not really much to talk about.
Yeah.
But what got me is, why the fuck are the Seattle Seahawks talking shit?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Frank Clark of the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, I can't wait to see you week 8. Dude, we beat the shit out of your ass. I'm going to make sure I make them cry.
They didn't beat the shit out of them. They just won the game.
31-0. You were getting your ass handed to you. You were getting your shit handed to you before your team came back.
They are down 31.
How are you going? But see, how are you going to talk shit about somebody and say, "Hey, I think he's soft," when that dude was beating your ass earlier this year, 31-0?
But after, they didn't score any more points after that.
You can't.
They didn't score any more points after that half.
31-0 to talk shit.
It was all Seahawks. They couldn't do anything.
Yeah, but you can't talk shit after being. You got your ass whooped in one half. It don't matter which half it was.
It don't matter.
The Carolina Panthers.
You can't
ask the third.
You can't sit there and be. What you gonna say? Oh, I know we were getting our ass whooped, but that was just practice. No, you were getting your ass whooped.
And they still almost beat them.
They didn't even win. If they had one time,
I believe they was going to beat the Carolina Panthers.
No, you have it wrong. They didn't almost beat them. They almost tied them. It's not like they lost by 2 points on a last second field goal. They were still down by 7.
Yeah.
There was still shit that had to happen for them to win that game.
And still could have had a chance to beat them. The Seahawks was running amok on them the second half. So the Panthers, if it was vice versa, that the Seahawks be up 31-0, and then all of a sudden the Carolina Panthers came back and still lost, they still had a chance to beat them. Tie them, beat them, whatever. They still had a chance. They just ran out of time. It was already too late.
Because they got their ass whooped in the first half.
But they made up for it in the second. They almost beat them.
Yeah, but
just like it stayed that quarter, and not like it stayed 31-0 the whole game. They were over there on their heels.
So what happened? The first half was just practice?
No, the first half they wasn't executing.
The first half
they came back on the second half and they were executing. They just ran out of.
So what happened to defense the first half?
The defense wasn't there.
But how are you going to talk shit about somebody?
What happened to the defense of the Carolina Panthers in the second half? It clearly wasn't there.
The Carolina Panthers aren't talking shit.
They can't. They lost the Super Bowl, so what can they say?
That's what I'm saying. The Panthers, it's not like the Panthers were talking shit to the Broncos. It's not like the Panthers were like, oh, hey, the Broncos defense ain't that great.
How are you going
to talk shit from a team that you lost to?
You can't tell me the Panthers wasn't talking shit. You can tell.
I know one thing, they weren't talking shit on Twitter.
They weren't.
They're doing it
for shit about somebody when you lost to them.
Hell? Come on. They're doing it right in front of the camera. They don't need social media.
Yeah.
Come on. They're right there. They don't need.
But you know exactly what I'm saying, Pootie. You're trying to be purposely.
No! You almost beat They almost beat the Carolina Panthers. If they had more time,
They didn't beat the Carolina Panthers.
They didn't.
So why is it okay for them to talk shit on a team that beat them? Especially when they didn't beat them. I can understand. Okay, if you want to talk shit because, hey, we played them a second time and we beat them this time, that's fine. I'm cool with that. If you want to talk shit the week before the game, but you don't let somebody, you don't be the dude that got his ass whooped, and then when the bully's getting his ass whooped, be in the background, yeah, that's what you get. You better shut the fuck up before he come back.
Well, they do have a Super Bowl.
Because at some point, that bully's going to get up, and that dude ain't going to be around no more.
And they beat the team that beat the Panthers. So it's like, y'all niggas can't beat the Broncos? We ran, and you want to talk about getting their ass whooped. The Broncos got their ass whooped by the Seahawks. And they're the same team.
When? 2 years ago.
Yes,
Frank Clark is the guy who talks shit. But the problem is,
they were breaking records.
Here's the problem with your argument. Here's the whole problem with that argument that you just said. Frank Clark just got drafted this year. He wasn't on the team that beat the shit out of the Broncos.
Okay.
So you can't even say that. You weren't even there for the beatdown of that. You can't even be like, hey, we beat the shit out of them. Because you weren't there then.
Okay, he wasn't there. But the rest of them can talk shit about him.
But the rest of them didn't talk shit. That's what makes it so bad.
Are you sure?
One other person said it. Bruce Irvin said it. Bruce Irvin said something. One other person. Not Richard Sherman.
I think
Darryl Smith.
shit
not
about
any of those dudes.
They do have a Super Bowl ring, and the Panthers don't.
Frank Clark don't have a Super Bowl ring. That's what you don't get. Frank Clark is a rookie.
But
he don't have a Super Bowl ring.
Okay.
He doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. He was on a team.
Okay.
He got drafted by a team that won the Super Bowl. That's like Todd Heap. That's like the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl, and Ray Rice is talking shit, but Ray Rice wasn't on the team that won the Super Bowl.
Oh, I get it now. Okay.
Right? You can't be the dude who just came in and you want to talk shit. You have proved nothing, sir.
I think they can. My argument still stands. They almost beat the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
You can't produce in two quarters and not produce in the last two. You have to play all four quarters.
Both teams
have to play all four quarters.
The game is four quarters, so I guess
each team plays two quarters each. And it just so happens Panthers.
The team that wins after all four quarters is the team that gets the right to talk shit. That's how I look at it.
Like I said,
you can't. It's almost like, and I'll use an MMA, it's like, and dudes, they will understand what I'm saying. It's like my man Jose Aldo's talking shit about Conor McGregor.
Right.
You got knocked down in 15 seconds. I know you beat everybody for 10 years.
Hey, a win is a win.
But when you get knocked out, when you get knocked out in 15 fucking seconds,
me that if the Seahawks had more time, they were going to beat the Carolina Panthers.
It doesn't matter. The game's only 60 minutes. They don't say, oh, hey, well, you almost won, so let's put some more time on the clock.
If the Seahawks had more time, I'm pretty sure they would have beat the Panthers.
Is there some rule that says that they definitely need to not play the whole 60 minutes to prove that they can't?
I'm not sure what I just said. If they had more time, they just ran out of time.
What 50 minutes is too?
They ran out of time.
The 60 That's minutes they played wasn't enough?
Talks law. Because the Panthers wasn't scoring in the third quarter. They didn't score in the fourth quarter either.
Right, but the Panthers scored their points.
Yeah, and so did the Seahawks.
So at the end of 60 minutes, the Panthers won.
Yes.
So it's not if they had more time. Is it what the game's supposed to go? Hey, it looks like you might win, so we gonna add more time to the clock?
No, that ain't it.
If they
executed correctly, and they wouldn't have needed more time. The game would have been tied.
Whose fault is that?
That's the Seahawks' fault.
Yeah, then what the fuck the Seahawks got the right to talk shit for?
They can talk shit all they want. They're not a sucky team. They're not a bad team. And you know that for sure. They did lose. But I still think they are a
full team. You can't be the dude talking shit when you lost.
Look like he did. He just did it.
He did, but I don't.
Great dude.
And the media actually was funny because I was watching His and Hers. And the media was the one that said it. Like, I was watching, I forgot the girl's name on there. But she was the one who was like, hey, she's like, how you gonna talk shit? Y'all were down 31-0. And like they're like laughing at him. They're like, how you gonna say it? Well, game is soft. Man, get the fuck out of here.
Well, what was the score towards the end?
Okay. Alright, well, moral victory, I guess. That's what losers say.
Hey,
at least you know
a win.
Close.
A win's a win. Don't forget.
Only except when you don't win.
look, they still had a chance to beat them.
A win is a win, except for when you don't win.
No. A win's a win, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, you can't lose.
They won. They beat them twice. But both games were close scores.
That's the other thing. You not lost that man once. You lost that man twice this year.
You can't talk shit if you lost a game. But he did. And it already happened.
Yeah. Don't take away from it. He shouldn't be talking shit. Someone needs to pull him off to the side.
Well, looks like I don't think anyone did.
Hopefully.
I don't think anyone did. You can do it.
I'll do it.
Yeah, you go ahead, right ahead. Go ahead. Tell that to that man, the playmate.
Hey, that's what they're doing with Cam. I mean, that's the thing. I just don't see how you saw somebody soft. When you lost to them.
You can probably they're talking about how Cam didn't go after the fumble. You could call him soft.
I didn't get that.
I didn't get it either.
I didn't really care. I didn't get that.
I didn't really care about that. I mean, I guess he could dive for it and break a finger, but if
I was thinking like
he could have gone for it, but would he really need to risk it?
I mean, the ball could have popped out, and he would have been right there to get it. He could have been right in his hand.
Exactly. I think he was kind of waiting for it to pop out.
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't just that. They had a lot of drop passes, too. Referees wasn't calling what I thought was a catch, but
like early on in the game.
Again, we know that's Ted Ginn.
That was some bullshit.
That's what he does. He could have got 13 more yards, and he wound up just getting.
He could have got a touchdown.
Yeah.
He was past that dude. That dude, he was scurred.
That's what no one can get for. Like, he's not Odell Beckham. He's not T.O. He is Todd Pinkston or James Thrash from the old Eagles days. Okay? That guy ran out of bounds. He was scared to go across the middle.
He straight ran out of bounds.
Yeah. So
I think he caught the ball. I was like, oh, touchdown. In fact, the commentator was like, oh, that's a touchdown. This dude ran out of bounds.
The guy is not slow. He's fast as hell.
You're the fastest dude on the field. Where are you running?
Punt returner. Like, for a reason.
Where are you running?
Why are you running that way? Oh, guess what? Turnover. Because people don't have hands. Sorry. You know? And then Peyton Manning fumbles. You get the ball back and you can't execute. You're the best offense in the league. Better than the Broncos, in my opinion. I don't know where they went. I don't know. I thought they were going to hang with them. I thought it was going to... My final score was 14-17 Broncos.
What did I have? I think I had like 21-14. I had 21-14 Carolina at some point.
Yeah.
I think 26-10 Panthers.
Really? Wow.
But well, they were favored to win. They had the MVP of the league, and Peyton Manning is not Peyton Manning, which I thought.
And I thought,
I thought that would be a factor. Like, he was still trash, but that was still not a factor in them winning.
But I also thought, like, honestly, I really thought that that Carolina defense would score a touchdown.
Yeah. I thought they would cause, like, some significant turnovers, man.
That would help, because the Panthers was down by 6 points.
No, the defense was off the chain.
Yeah, the defense was fine. They were just they were close. Like once Jonathan Stewart scored, they were only down by 6 points. And I think he missed that field goal.
That dude missed that field goal, man. It was over.
I mean, it just hit the goalpost. If it was a little bit higher.
What did you guys think of the halftime show?
I didn't even see it. I was still at work, so I missed it. I heard it was good, though. I heard that was, like, the highlight of the Super Bowl.
I liked it. Apparently, people are mad that Beyonce dressed up as a Black Panther.
Oh, Black Panther, the Black Panther movement?
Yeah, I feel bad because I literally did not get it until Mayor Giuliani started complaining about it.
Oh, Mary, yo, he is, I hate him so much. Like, the thing is that back when shit with 9/11 happened, I thought that dude was like a great guy. I thought Rudy Giuliani was a great guy because like he was bringing everybody together and all this other shit. But then as I'm like an adult now, I realize that Rudy Giuliani really is a piece of shit. That guy is a fucking asshole. I hate that guy so much. Like everything that comes out of his mouth is fucking stupid these days. Everything. Fucking Rudy Giuliani, dude.
Even him telling the time would just piss people off. Like, it's 7:30. Shut the fuck up, Giuliani.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Get out of my face. That means you're going to leave, right? Right? Fuck out of here. Oh, man.
No, fuck Rudy Giuliani. God damn it. Fucking hate that guy.
All right. Are we going to talk New Japan now?
All right. Yeah, we can do that. All right. Alright, yeah, so a couple of New Japan shows this week and next, I guess, whatever. February 11th, which will be by the time this podcast actually airs, it would be already over, would be the New Japan in Osaka event. Of course, held in Osaka. And, basically the card would be David Finlay versus Jay White. For the singles match, Young Lions, Chaos team of Gedo, Sakuraba, and Yoshihashi versus Jushin Thunder Liger, Taguchi, and Tiger Mask.
And then after that, a match of Nakanishi and Nagata versus Tenkozy of Tenzan and Kojima. Los Ingobernables, de Japan, of Bushi, Evil, and Naito will face Juice Robinson, Kushida, and a returning Michael Elgin. And after that will be a match of the six-man tag team titles, that new open weight one. So it'd be the Briscoe Brothers and the Toriano versus the Bullet Club B team of Ben Lukfale, Tama Tonga, and Yujiro Takahashi. And of course, there's a three-way tag match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. The Young Bucks, who are the champions, will face Matt Sydal and Ricochet, and will also face Pudi's clients, Red Dragon of Bobby and Kyle Riley. Yep. And after that, singles match for the Never Openweight Championship, Katsuyori Shibata, who is the champion, will face Tomohiro Ishii. And after that, Bullet Club members Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Kenny Omega will face Hiroshi Tanahashi, Togi Makabe, and Tomoaki Hanma. And the main event would be Okada versus Goto for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. So that is the card for the New Beginning in Osaka, which airs on the 11th. And next card for that New Beginning is the New Beginning in Niigata. That has two eyes. It's really unusual. But that one will be on the 14th, so that will be another Sunday morning. Nice, easy, breezy Sunday morning of NewJapanWorld.com. First match is Bullet Club's Cody Hall, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson versus Captain New Japan, Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask. Next match is Gedo and Sakuraba versus your clients of Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. Third match, David Finley, Nakanishi, Taguchi, and Yuji Nagata versus Tenzan, Matt Sydal, Ricochet, and Kojima. Fourth match of the night would be Los Ingobernables de Japan, Evil and Naito versus Jay White and Michael Elgin. We all kind of know who's going to take the L on that one. next one would be the Bullet Club of the Bullet Club B team of Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Yujiro Takahashi, versus Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, and Toriano. So, funny thing, the first match is for the title, second match is, I guess, just throwaway shit. And their sixth match, Chaos, Okada, Ishii, and Yoshihashi versus Goto, Juice Robinson, and Shibata. Singles match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship would be Kushida versus Bushi. Eighth match of the night, another tag team, the title match, would be Great Bash Heel of Makabe and Honma versus Bullet Club's Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. And the main event of the night will be Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kenny Omega for the recently vacated IWGP Intercontinental Championship. And that is the card for the New Beginning in Niigata.
Cool. Let me see. Anything else wrestling was so I can get down my cards for the weekend?
I think we're good.
Alright. So, on February 12th, is going back to Reseda, California for PWG's Bowie and the matches that they have. Yes. And the matches they have here. is making his PWG debut Dalton Castle from the Ring of Honor side going up against the Kentucky Gentleman Chuck Taylor. I would actually like that if that was an opening match that they have here. Speedball Mike Bailey going up against Player Uno, who hasn't been in PWG in a long, long time.
Shit.
Yeah, he's back in PWG.
Oh, I heard he's like evil Player Uno now or something.
Evil Uno. Yeah. Yeah, they were chanting that a long time ago. So, your hero, Chris Hero, going up against, Trent Beretta, whatever. Adam Cole, baby, going up against Andrew Everett. I don't know how that match is going to go, but they are having a match. Trevor Lee is going up against Zack Sabre Jr.
Trevor Lee, current X Division champion.
Yeah, he is the X Division champion. You are correct. Just won that thing. for the PWG World Championship, Roderick Strong defends his title against Drew Galloway. Oh, and Sami Callihan versus Jack Evans. I think that'll actually be a pretty good show. That PWG. Next show, this is going to be also on a Friday. This is AIW's Don't Feed Us After Midnight. Now, why? I've heard of that saying before. Why don't they want people to eat after midnight?
Gremlins.
Oh.
Yeah, Gremlins.
Oh, okay.
When in doubt, go to the kid who grew up in the 80s.
All right, so the matches that I'm going to say out loud for the AIW Women's Championship, Veda Scott going up against my client Heidi Lovelace, DJ Zima Ion going up against the very underrated Lewis Linden, Michael Facade, and Cloudy. Where do they find Cloudy? Tim.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, who is this fake AJ Styles picture right here?
I got stretched by Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I'm Cloudy. I'm back. To Infinity and Beyond, featuring, Cheech and, Colin Delaney going up against Hot Sauce Entertainment for the AIW Tag Team Championship. Brian Myers, the King of Queens going up against Tim F. and Dance. Alex Shelley going up against your homegirl Candice LeRae. Jerry, who is very over, going up against Gregory Iron for the Intense Championship. Oh boy. Okay. Okay. Jack Sampson, Tracy Smothers, and Buck House Buck with Colonel Robert Parker. Oh man. Going up against Dick Justice, Marion Fontaine, and Colt Cabana with Missy Hyatt.
Ew!
What are you doing?
What is going on? This is AIW, right?
Yes. This is AIW.
Oh, no, boy.
You're going to get Buckhouse Buck with Robert Parker. This is a little country cell. Going up with Missy Hyatt in there. That, now, mind you, Robert Parker and Missy Hyatt are not wrestling. They're just there.
Don't forget Jock Sampson.
And Jock Sampson. He's cool. Dick Justice. He's cool. Marion Fontaine, cool. Coco Mana, cool with me. Not with Mofo. Tracy Smothers, not cool with me. Because I know he's going to talk his head off. God forbid he talks someone's head off. Don't give him a live mic. Please. I don't want to hear it. Dance Tracy Dance can kick rock. Title match. All Ego Ethan Page going up against the promo master of Josh Prohibition. Love his promos because he's serious. And he has a beard now. Now, this is going to WSU's 9th anniversary. I'm just saying these, just the matches that matter. WSU Spirit Championship, the champion Lethal Base going up against Hanya, the Howling Huntress. For the WSU Tag Team Championship, Chicks Using Nasty Tactics going up against the Fella Twins. And I guess it's kind of self-explanatory. This is what they are. Jessica Havoc going up against Lufesto. Solo Darling going up against Veda Scott in a sweet uncensored rules match. Ooh. And that's all I'm willing to say about that show. Next up is CZW 17. Of course, it's going to be on the same day. This is the 17th anniversary show. CZW out for 17 years. Man.
CZW out longer than WCW and ECW combined.
Mm-hmm. Longer than Ring of Honor, longer than PWG, and longer than most of the companies that's out there.
Actually, what, ECW was around for 8 years. CZW has been has gone double the time ECW was around.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Man. And for one night only, Drake Younger, or Jake Wartz, if some people know him as the referee of NXT, he will be inducted into the CZW Hall of Fame on Saturday, February the 13th. So that'll be pretty cool. AR Fox is going up against Masada. Now, get this match. This is Danny Havoc versus Ricky Shane Page. If Havoc wins, he gets a CZW World Championship match. If Ricky Shane Page wins, he will become a full-time roster member of the Combat Zone. Interesting. The Mason Gulak is going up against the Dub Boys. Scarlett and Graves as a tag team going up against Nico Sozio, Bucks Beremark, Otic Laxton. Mike Bailey going up against Sammy Callahan. Joey Janela going up against the CZW Wire champion Leo Rush. This is going to be a 2 out of 3 falls for the Wire championship. That might be a lot of fun. TV Ready, the CZW tag team champions of the Black G's and Pepper Parks going up against the guys from Beyond Wrestling, the EUIFBO. I don't know their names, but this is the main event of the show. The CZW World Championship will be on the line in a ladder match between Devin Moore and the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And that is all of the shows for this weekend. And I believe it's time for 5-Star Wrestling's time. Unless, Mofo, you got something.
Nothing.
You're just running the gimmick, huh? You're just going with it. Okay.
I'm too sad.
Oh, right. You're too sad. The American Dragon is just the loss of him. I'm just so sorry. I'm sorry, man. Well, maybe one more match to the death. Ooh. 5-Star Wrestlers is going to be, I guess you would say this is a TNA list now that I look at it. Actually, let's start with this non-TNA guy because he was only in there for like, I don't know, a month. This formerly known as the 1-2-3 Kid, people called him X-Pac. I used to call him Six, but his real name is Sean Waltman, BKA X-Pac. Goddamn, he has a lot of names. Mofo, you go first. What's your thoughts on Sean Waltman, and what is the name that you remember him by?
Okay, you are going to love this. The name I remember him by the most is X-Pac. However, the first name I remember him from is the Lightning Kid.
Oh, yeah, he was the Lightning Kid. All right.
Saturday afternoons, hopefully if Lee's listening to this, he might not be. Saturday afternoons, me and Lee would watch GFW, which you can watch on the WWE Network, and he was one of the guys on GFW, the Lightning Kid. So, there you go. I don't. X-Pac, I mean, I don't know where X-Pac he came from, but it's just one of those things that, like, it's one of those wrestling memes that just got popular out of nowhere. But X-Pac wasn't a bad wrestler. He was just a guy who, for some reason, got lost. And I guess the problem with him was that he never really had a place. Like, he wasn't a cruiserweight, but he wasn't a heavyweight. He was just kind of there. And it got to the point where he was like the little brother of Triple H that you just couldn't stand to be around. And I think that's what hurt him the most. And when they tried to push him with the European title, it just people got fucking... I think the worst thing that ever happened was they tried to give him his own stable.
Oh. X-Factor with Albert and Just Incredible, yeah.
Just Incredible.
Yo. They should have never done that.
I got everything I ever wanted.
God. Sounds like you're going to just be ass with whoever comes out.
I loved the
Oh, Lord, no.
Cracker. Yo, Uncle Cracker was hot in the late 2000s, man.
You're not wrong.
Late 2000s, man.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Oh, man. I do remember that song. Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Doomsday, you got any thoughts on Sean Maltman, and what is the name that you remember him by?
Of course, me being one of those late bloomers or whatever, I knew him as X-Pac. When I was, when I started watching him, he was kind of, I think he was at a point in between DX and X-Factor. Like that was the point where I started watching him. I think the only time I knew him from DX was back when I was playing the fucking old SmackDown video games. Because I was playing the SmackDown video games since 99 or whatever, but I wasn't watching wrestling. So I knew all these characters, but I wasn't watching wrestling. So I knew how he was a DX member before I even watched him as one. But then, that X Factor shit was bad. I loved their theme song, but yeah, they were not great together at all. Yeah, that was not. But I never had a problem with him wrestling wise. But and as a kid, I would be a little confused when people would be booing the shit out of him, that's basically what my thing was. I would always be confused that people were just shitting on him. But hey, man, it happens, I guess. But that X-Pac, that's where X-Pac came from.
But I don't know when it happened.
I don't.
It
happened 2001, early 2001, I think.
Because I was he was over.
Just one day, he came on the screen, and people were just fucking tired of seeing him.
I think it was 2001, even before the invasion and shit happened. People were really booing him, but it got worse. It just got worse and worse. It was bad.
People legitimately just did not want to fucking see him.
Yeah.
This is after the whole China incident, right? Let's not forget about that shit.
I don't know what it was. I mean, literally, it's just one of those things where you gotta watch the network, man, because it just happens out of no fucking where. Literally, there's one day, they're cheering him, and then all of a sudden, people are just like, oh, here goes. Because I remember feeling it. Just one day being like, oh, shit, here comes X-Pac.
Oh, man.
It was never that way with, anybody. I mean, keep in mind, this is the era that gave us fucking Test.
Yeah.
There were people, right, there were people who just, and nowadays Test would be booed at the fucking building.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because how the fuck is a goddamn, this long-haired fucker who's a roadie with no damn talent, because he's 7 feet tall, he's just going to come in and start taking title matches away from Mankind. So,
yeah, that's some bullshit. Everyone came back steroided up.
Yeah, oh, God. Oh, God. Super Test?
Yes, Super Test.
Came back looking like the Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wait, but it wasn't that bad of a heat. It was X-Pac heat worse than Test?
X-Pac heat? Yes. No, that's the thing. In 2001, 2002, we loved everything. Test wasn't getting booed.
Test wasn't getting booed. No, he wasn't.
Test was like, yeah, go Test. It was only X-Pac. Literally, only X-Pac.
That's crazy.
That's why they call it X-Pac heat, because nobody else got booed like that.
Nope.
Nobody else, this wrestling was hot. People didn't leave the fucking stands. Like, this isn't even Roman Reigns, we don't want to see him win heat. This was fucking legitimately, why the fuck is this guy still here?
Yeah. We don't want to see him anymore.
Right.
Okay, I remember seeing
him. It wasn't even JTG. Why is he still here? He shouldn't have a job. Why is he still here? He's not wrestling. It was, why is he still here? Who the fuck did he bribe to stay?
Why is he still breathing?
Right.
I must have missed when it happened. I do remember people saying X-Pac. He, I remember seeing him when he was the 1-2-3 kid. And I like I said, I played the game on Monday Night Raw, and he was on there. But I also bought WCW Nitro also, because I was watching that. And I was looked at him, I was like, this guy looks like the 1-2-3 kid. But why is his name Six? And I think that was the first time I realized that in WWE you have a name, and in WCW you have a different name. But I was like, Hulk Hogan's still Hulk Hogan. Randy Savage is still Randy Savage. Ric Flair is still Ric Flair. Why is the 1-2-3 kid now named Six? You know, and they would call him Six-Pac, you know, on sometimes. But then the only reason why I liked his name Six is because it was spelled not S-I-X. It was S-Y-X-X. And I thought that was the coolest way how to spell Six. So I was just like, okay, this guy's dope. His finisher was the Buzz Killer. And I was like, the Buzz Killer? What is that? And it's basically the cross-faced chicken wing. But then I was just like, oh, that's kind of underwhelming. I thought it was something bigger than that. But he never used that in WWE. He used the X Factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his fucking finisher.
Which eventually would be like the default, like, Divas finisher for like years to come.
Yeah, like, he was over. Him and Kane had a thing. Yeah, that's about it. I know he was at Chikara doing the whole 1-2-3 kid gimmick. That was actually kind of nice. His TNA run was kind of short, but that was around like 2003. That was back when they were trying to use Raven. But yeah, he was X Division champion for a while. Not really. Next guy, he's another X Division champion. This is one half of the British Invasion. This is Doug Williams. And I'll go off just really quick. Only reason I like Doug Williams is because he had this move called the Chaos Theory, and it was a rolling German suplex. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, I want that as my finisher. But of course, unfortunately, I'm just too damn small, and I don't think that'll ever happen. But he did that shit on Amazing Red, and he did it so fast, too. Because normally, the Chaos Theory is slow, because you really gotta rotate. But he did that shit so fast, and then Red just folded. And I was just like, whoa, the Chaos Theory. But, I mean, he's still a good wrestler, you know, but that's about it. His personality is really not all that. He's just the typical British wrestler, I guess. Dude, you got any thoughts on Doug Williams?
No.
Oh, yeah, he was in Ring of Honor, too. Totally forgot about that. That was back when Gabe was trying to be all, you know, serious with the mat wrestling and shit, and so they just got Doug Williams. Mofo, you got any thoughts on Doug Williams?
Doug Williams actually in the first ever Ring of Honor title match, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was in the Iron Man match. Which, do you think fucking Gabe Sapolsky's super gimmicky now? Was it a four-way Iron Man match for the world title? What the like, fuck?
Dude? You can't make up your mind? How do you do an Iron Man match for four people?
I want four great wrestlers, but I want them to wrestle for an hour.
It was like a tag team Iron Man match.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It was just stupid. Anyway, in hindsight. But it was fun. What was funny about it was that Doug Williams is that kind of guy. And I liked his gimmick in TNA, which was the grounded X Division wrestler. I always liked that about him, the really serious X-Division wrestler. I don't do the flippy shit.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's one of those guys who's just a solid worker. I think he reminded me a lot of William Regal. And I kind of wish that he actually became a bigger star than what he did, because unfortunately he did not. But yeah, I like Doug Williams.
Yeah, he was good. Like, he didn't, like, suck.
What happened was that's when TNA was going through that fucking, they didn't know what they wanted to do time. And they had him in Fortune, and then he was out of Fortune. And then Fortune was supposed to be four guys, and all of a sudden Fortune became like seven guys. Like, yeah, there was just a lot of shit that happened.
That's TNA. Remember when
Fortune was like seven dudes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they had, what's that other group that was like just like them?
The Main Event Mafia.
No, wait. It wasn't just them. Was it Main Event Mafia?
It was Immortals.
Immortals! There we go. That's what it was. Yeah, TNA. God damn it. They had it and they fucked it up. Fuck. Oh, man. All right, so next up is another former TNA X Division champion. This one is Rockstar Spud. And I don't really know much about the dude. I heard he's entertaining. I seen one match, and it was in Chikara, but I kind of got the gist of him. I think he's a comedy character, but I've heard he had Match of the Year with EC3 last year. But I didn't check out the match I meant to. But I heard he was entertaining. He looks like a funny dude, but that's about it. That's all I got. Mofo, you got anything on Rockstar Spud?
I don't watch enough TNA to have a huge opinion on him. But from what I've heard, Rockstar Spud, not only entertaining in the ways of matches, apparently really good on the mic.
Yeah.
I do remember him being around with the whole Dixie angle, where he was Dixie's assistant, mm-hmm. and he was actually one of the best parts about those segments and everything, calling her my queen and giving her the ring and everything. But, I mean, I don't know too much about him. But, yeah, I like Rockstar Spud. I still do. I mean, he was their version of Tough Enough. I think it's called British Boot Camp.
Yeah, British Boot Camp. Yeah.
So, you know, apparently he's really good, which is weird because the two guys they got from that were Rockstar Spud and Grado.
Yeah.
Both, for the most part, they're both comedy guys.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so they didn't get, even though they have Willow Spray and Mark Andrews, I mean, they got Mark Andrews from it, but even though those guys are around, they haven't used those guys. So, you know, I mean, I guess whatever works. Hey, the fans vote for him. But yeah, Rockstar Spud, good wrestler. All
right. Doomsday, you got anything on Rockstar Spud?
Can't say too much about his wrestling ability. I've probably only seen like a handful of matches, and he's been virtually squashed in both of them, or three, if I can remember that I've watched two or three of his. But yeah, he's comedically pretty funny, I guess, with all the segments and shit that they've had in TNA. Yeah, definitely back in when he was Dixie's assistant. That was the only time I really paid attention to him while he was in TNA. But he was entertaining then. But yeah, and that's all I could say about him.
All right. And next up, another X Division champion. He has a couple of names, but actually we brought up his name today. We was talking about DJ Zema Ion. All right, so Mofo, you got anything on Zema Ion or Shima Ion or DJ Zito?
To be honest, I think you're probably gonna have the most on him because I did not know he's a local guy. Like he started in Maryland. Things in Maryland. You know what? I honestly, when I first saw him, I wasn't really a fan of his, but he's grown on me a lot. Like he's really, really good,
mm-hmm.
And one of the better X Division wrestlers out there. And I actually enjoy the gimmick, the whole DJ gimmick. I think it's actually pretty fun. I think it's different. I think it's cool. Like I like the bromance group, just because honestly, there are guys who remind you of that. Like you know, there are guys out there who are really like that, who are just like these annoying fucking party boys who just get on your damn nerves and they're loud and they're annoying and they're brash
and
you're sitting there, you just want to sit there, you just want to listen to some music in a bar, and here they come, bah, 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 bah. Come on bro, come on bro, exactly. And they always have like the one dude who's taking his shirt off randomly. Like, look at this, hit me in the stomach.
Go somewhere. You see that?
What's wrong with you?
They're like, yo, you are so ripped up, bro.
So ripped up. I did deltoids today, bro.
Got, mind you, he's tanned up from the feet up.
Right. It's going to happen today, bro.
Yup. Yeah. Feel these Japan. Yeah. Probably going to be doing that for the rest of the time we're talking about him. Just saying. Oh, man. But,
DJ, bro.
So
fun. You know me, bro.
Oh man, I'll see you in a bit, bro. You still wanna be over there?
Right.
Be over there.
You wanna do some Jaeger bombs?
Yeah.
Jaeger bombs.
Jaeger bombs.
Brr, brr, brr,
brr. Oh man, it's starting to get annoying now. Just like this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but he wasn't just doing that. I think that was just them. Well, I think he was the DJ.
Yeah,
so they, those two are doing. I don't know. I didn't watch TNA, so sorry. So that's it.
I like entertaining gimmicks that you know you can relate to real life. So I think that was pretty interesting. I think everybody's been around that fucking person before, and it's been really fucking annoying.
They do exist. So Doomsday, your turn. Your thoughts on DJ Zito? I'll play it when my fingers are free.
You know what? Yeah.
Sorry. What?
Yeah, I enjoy his DJ gimmick. It's pretty fun stuff. His wrestling is matches are pretty decent to me. Yeah, he's not bad at all for me. I haven't seen that much of him recently, but from what I've seen before, he's done great work. Yeah, so that's all I gotta say. I don't have too much to say about it besides. Burr, 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 burr.
Okay, so I remember him when he was doing the whole hairspray gimmick. Like,
he was spraying in the face too.
Yeah, in the face with hairspray? Savage, man. That shit burns. Yeah, I remember that. And, I heard he was really big in AIW. I think he, like, won all the titles there, won Gauntlet for the Gold and all that stuff. But yeah, he's actually really entertaining. I think I commentated one of his matches, and I believe that was in, like, West Virginia when I was down there with them, I think in PCW somewhere. And yeah, like he's really, like in ring, he's really good. Like he's an X-Pop. He doesn't suck. He's just really good. In fact, that he doesn't get booed out the building though. He can be entertaining. But yeah, his in-ring work is actually really solid. And that's about it. But, yeah, and I didn't see the bromance thing, but I did see one video, because I heard it on the Rough House. They was like, yo, play this video and just watch how awesome it is. And it's just DJ Z and, the bromance, and they're doing basically what me and Mofo was acting like when, I don't know what the video was called, but it would have to be like 6 minutes long, but it was really, really fun. Because they were just acting stupid with the noise and stuff. So last five-star wrestler that we have here is another X Division champion. Yes, it is one of my favorite X Division champions when X Division was booming. I'm talking about the Canadian Destroyer, Petey Williams.
No, Petey!
Petey Williams. That man, I saw the Canadian Destroyer and I couldn't believe what I saw. It was a fucking flipped power driver. Back then, he was the only one doing it.
Yep.
You know, now a couple of people is like the super kick. Everybody can do it now. Even Buff Bagwell did a Canadian Destroyer. He's not even Canadian.
This is funny.
Yeah. So, Petey Williams was doing that now. He turned himself into, Maple Leaf Muscle? Canadian Muscle?
Oh, yes. It was Maple Leaf Muscle. Oh, man.
What is it? Little Papa Pump or something like that? Petey Papa Petey Pump? I can't remember. He was with Scott Steiner. Because he wasn't, like, ripped. He was actually normal indie wrestler shape. And then all of a sudden he started hanging with Scott Steiner and just got fucking jacked. You know? So, I think he got injured one time, so he really got, like, a little bit nerfed. But, and then he had one Ring of Honor match with, like, Austin Aries that I heard wasn't really good. And that was kind of unfortunate because he was having killer matches with AJ Styles. And he was having killer matches with Chris Sabin. And then they had that three-way for the X Division title. I think it was like an Ultimate X match that I remember from TNA, like back in 04, 05, something like that. And, yeah, Petey Williams was the shit to me. I don't know what happened. You know, him and frickin' Monty Brown when TNA was booming. Those were like one of my favorite guys besides AJ.
Yeah.
You know, besides AJ and everybody else that everybody knows and loves. Doomsday, you got any thoughts on the Maple Leaf Muscle, Petey Williams?
Yo, he was dope as hell, like, when he was, like, one of the leaders of, like, Team Canada.
Yeah.
Team Canada, for some odd reason, was, like, my favorite stable in, like, the mid, the mid-2000s. I don't know why.
He had, what, Bobby Roode was there. I forgot he was there. Like, Bobby Roode was there. There's some guy named A1.
Oh, that dude was
Scott the Moore. Yeah.
Let's talk about A1. Yeah, yeah. Remember my weed carriers list? A1 was.
Yeah. Great.
But that dude was trash. Up and down, period. That dude was beat for nothing. It was so bad. He was terrible. But anyway, going back to Petey Williams, yeah, man, I thought like he was dope with the Team Canada and shit, and branching off on his own when he like be doing the whole deal with the X Division title and chasing that and shit. That was awesome. But yeah, definitely that whole Maple Leaf Muscle gimmick was just fantastic. I loved it so much. Little Papa Pump, he had the chainmail do-rag on, like Scott Steiner did. He had everything, man. He dyed his hair. It was great, man.
God, yeah, because he was cool, was great. Man.
Because a lot of people like love Jay Lethal's Black Machismo, but Lil Papa Pump, Maple Leaf Muscle, that was just as good for me. That shit was baller.
Yeah, I think he's retired now, and I think I checked his age, only 34.
Yeah.
Same age as Daniel Bryan.
Not bad. Almost same size as Daniel Bryan, too. I think he's just a little bit slimmer. Weird. But yeah, he's like, what? Because he wasn't a big guy. He was like, what, 5'7", 5'8"?
He's a small guy.
Little Petey Pump, that's what his name was.
I think the last thing we saw, anyone saw him in was like maybe something from like a year or two ago. I think maybe 2-3 years ago, and he was on this Vine where I think he was walking. He finds Scott Steiner, and he's like, Scotty! And then Scott Steiner just turns around and just curses him out. That was the last thing he was in. That's the last thing I remember him in.
Oh man, I wish he was there. Now I'm gonna watch an old Petey Williams match because he was actually really good, and he was one of my favorites. But that is it. That is Five Star Wrestlers. Anything else y'all want to talk about before we head on out for the show?
Don't forget to smoke crack.
Don't do that. Please don't go there, bro. 100th episode next week.
Oh yeah. Apparently. Oh, and unrelated news. Apparently, Kanye sent a new track list and final. I put that in air quotes. Title of his album. Now it's called The Life of Pablo. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Why would he name it
the that? New title is The Life of Pablo.
Like Pablo Escobar.
Oh, okay, got it.
But yeah, Kanye's been doing some stupid shit lately.
Yes,
you saw that tweet with Bill Cosby, innocent. That was the dumbest shit.
Really?
Yo, he tweeted. I think he tweeted out like a day ago. I think, Bill Cosby innocent with a whole bunch of exclamation points, and it got like thousands and thousands of retweets. It was incredible.
Oh, Kanye. Oh, boy. I'm surprised he ain't going to be performing at no WrestleMania. He'll mess with that fake shit.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. And in another tweet, had, like, he screenshotted some conversation he had with somebody or whatever, I guess via text message, and I guess they were asking about having a whole bunch of wrestling legends at the Yeezy Season 3 or whatever. So, like, they're talking about Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and, like, get other wrestlers. So, yes, he is with that fake shit. Apparently.
That fake shit. Alright, so, alright, like I said, 100th episode next week. Anything y'all plan to do, or...
Hey man, I'm just gonna chill out and watch Deadpool this weekend.
I plan on watching Deadpool this weekend, hopefully, but yeah, I'm all about, let's go bring back some shit. Let's bring back CM Punk.
No, he can lose.
He needs...
You heard about CM Punk though, right? Like his
back surgery.
Yeah, pushed back.
He's never fighting in the UFC.
You know what? You know what? He did that on purpose. As soon as he realized that his opponent could KO a dude in less than a minute, he was like, nah, let me just hold this back for a little bit.
Oh, I also have, not news, but something I found interesting. Apparently, GFW planning on having some events here in Maryland.
Oh, God.
Really?
No, they're not.
No.
They don't exist.
To the one
they don't exist. Why do you keep trying to say
it? Don't try to push this agenda on us.
They don't. They're not real. They're not real. All right. So y'all, I just found the Petey Williams match. Okay. So yeah. Anything? Okay. I guess y'all did plug y'all stuff so we can go.
Hey man, I'm getting paper. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm working from home and shit, making this paper. So now when shows actually come up, I could actually like afford first row seats and shit, right and sweet. But yeah, you can catch me on doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube's Doomsday Space Gorilla, spelled as in PWG Gorilla on YouTube. That's my secondary channel. Check me out on Instagram, Doomsday Gorilla, all one word, and I'm on Daily Motion as a Doomsday 519, but I don't even use that shit no more. Boom.
All right, Mofo Magic is your go.
As always, at Mofo Magic RNW, listen to us every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio at www.rantemradio.com. Also, listen out. There will be a week from Sunday, the 21st. It is WWE Fastlane pre-show coverage as well as post-show coverage on that day. And Monday, I turned 34 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome.
He old. He is old, but not as old as my grandmother, who her birthday is actually today, turning 74.
Hey!
You know? 74. And my friend's baby, who is just turning 2, tomorrow, on Thursday. You know? So, yeah, happy birthday to all 3 of you guys and gals. You
and
know?
Happy birthday. To somebody who's not listening to the show, but Liberty Bell's birthday is this weekend. Her birthday's
Oh, right. It is near yours. I remember that. Yeah. Shout out to Liberty Bell, man.
So Saturday. And of course, all you people out there out to get lucky, don't celebrate Daniel Bryan's retirement too early. Valentine's Day is coming on Sunday.
Yep. Get ready. Get ready. I hope everybody has a wonderful Valentine's Day. I hope everybody has a good weekend. Football season is over. Walking Dead is about to start right back up, so that means I'm going to have something to watch on Sunday. Thank Jesus and all his disciples. Mofo, you give us the closing kind words, you know, since you're still feeling under, you know, because of a loss.
Luckily, this didn't happen on the 100th episode. Thank you once again, Daniel Bryan. Hashtag grateful. From Rant and Wrestling, we were there during WrestleMania 30. All together, ironically enough, us 3. And I'm sure Rob was there in spirit to see your career. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, catch us next week. Very special Century Edition. And in the meantime, stay live. Not John.
Man, that was tough. You didn't have to do that. So, matter of fact, dudes, they just dipped out. So I'm going to say the closing words here as we have the final countdown for our 100th episode. Daniel Bryan Danielson, we wish you the best in your future endeavors.
And now that you don't have to worry about it, hey, smoke weed
every day.